You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Friday morning, November 14th, 2025. It is another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your Friday morning, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or watching us on social media, catching us by podcast, however you got here. Thanks for wrapping up your work week right here. I got a question for you. Do you have a local ice cream shop? Yeah, we've been previewing this for a day or two, and you thought I was probably going to say, who makes the best local ice cream? Where's the best? But it occurs to me that not every community has something other than one of the chains, and there's nothing wrong with Culver's or Dairy Queen, but an ice cream shop just strikes me as one of those things that a local entrepreneur can still do without worrying about being absolutely crushed by the big boys. You know, again, I use Olson's here in Chippewa or Ramon's down in Eau Claire. You can have a local ice cream shop without worrying that, you know, you're going to lose all your traffic to Culver's or DQ. It's not the same as, say, opening a retail clothing shop and then Walmart comes to town. All right. So what do you have? What would you like to tell people about? And yes, Tony, I'm sorry, frozen yogurt, frozen custard, that can all count too. Let's see. Alicia's already online saying we've got, I want to say, Lammer's Dairy in Kimberly, or Lambers. Apologies, whichever way that goes. So yeah, want to know what you've got for ice cream shops. And you're going, Pat, it's so cold out there. Yeah, temperatures are in the 30s. Ice cream is a year-round treat. We all know that. Tony's telling us now, Craven with a K, frozen yogurt. I'm guessing that's up in the Appleton area where he is. Along the line on this Friday morning, you can join us, as some of our friends are already, on YouTube in the comments section. That'd be YouTube either through Up North News or the Civic Media YouTube page. Same goes with Facebook. Up North News or Civic Media. And of course, for everybody listening on the radio, get that Civic Media app out and you can call us or just send us a text message, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And you can also just record a quick little audio note saying the best ice cream shop is, and then tell us all about it. That way I don't have to mispronounce it either. Tony says that Craven is right on Main Street in Ashland, not Appleton. If I said Appleton, then clearly it's too early in the morning here. Coming up, we of course have Kia Vakil from Courier Newsroom, and we also have our Week in Review panel, which includes former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and veteran Chicago journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. And we'll ask them a Chicago-specific question because it really caught my eye in the Chicago Tribune to see a letter to the editor signed by, I didn't count the names, but well over a dozen different retired journalists and media folks who say, you know, take it from us. You've been watching us do the news for years and years and years. It is not normal to have the military, to have troops in the streets of America's cities based on a presidential whim, and don't normalize this. This is not normal behavior by a president. And so we'll ask our Week in Review team about that. Let's see. Alicia says, hey, put some hot chocolate mix on top of some vanilla ice cream and you're good to go. Make sure it's just the powder. Well, Parker Olson's producing things down in Madison Studio 2A. That's a new one on me. Sprinkle a little hot chocolate powder on top of some vanilla ice cream.
Powder. And wow, that, you know, that might be just might be groundbreaking, Alicia.
Yeah, I don't know where Alicia got the idea. I sense it's a Navy trick while you're on board. You know, you can only get the things that you can get, but interesting. Jim in Campbell Sports says, Kelly's Ice Cream Shop in Eden. It's even been on Good Morning America.
Oh, wow.
Jim's listening on WAUK or through WAUK, so we appreciate that very much. No, Alicia, it's not the Navy. She says, my dad introduced it to me. That's a great parent-grandparent hack. You know, every so often you're one of your grandparents, you say, oh, no, do it like this. We did this in the Depression or whatever. You know, it's like you weren't alive in the Depression. Oh, it feels like it. You know, anyway.
Wait, you weren't alive in the Depression, Pat?
It just feels like it sometimes. I have come through.
You might be soon.
That's right. I've come through stagflation. I've come through the OPEC oil embargo that precipitated it. I've come through the big 80s and then the dot-com bubble and then the housing bubble and now the forthcoming AI bubble that's going to burst, the Great Recession. Yeah, good times. Good times.
Sounds like a great – I'm really excited to enjoy
You're
life.
You're really now. Excited for your adulthood, aren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How many times have I said, this is not the adulthood I signed up for, but it is the one that has been given to us. So this weekend, let's see, it'll be back to – another niece or nephew has a kid getting a big birthday party. Awesome. So I'll see what kind of ideas I get from there. Because last weekend at a family function, I got the idea for that chicken pot pie soup, which was soup. You know, pretty tasty. Definitely need to tweak the recipe a bit, but it was something different, yeah. Something unique. Why do I sense your plans involve whitewater?
My plans do involve whitewater. Good senses, Pat. I will not be going to Whitewater, though. We're going on the road, going up to Oshkosh.
Oshkosh?
Oshkosh begash. We're going up there, got a buddy coming over, and we're heading up there. Going to hang out with his folks. They've got some friends that have got a tailgate going on there. So we're going to have a good time.
So Whitewater is playing in Oshkosh, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
I suppose I probably should clarify that, yes.
That's okay.
The Hawks are going to be up in Oshkosh. If Whitewater wins, they will be in the playoffs. If they lose, they have about a 25% chance of being in the playoffs. If they lose, their season's probably over, is what we're saying.
Wow.
So,
do you do more of this sports chat or any place else instead of the short little window that I provide for you?
We do. A smidge more over at Make the Call. You can listen to that on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7 a.m. on Saturdays. So set your alarms for about now. You got another 40 minutes or so to sleep in. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Tune in. Okay. Jimmy Cuska is the host of the Roundtable. Greg Gunderson, who we actually heard earlier this week on our show.
Yes.
Talking
deer
about
Hunters Roundup, right?
Gun here, deer season. Yeah. And then Conrad Kruger over producing Nightlight with Pete Schwabe is on the Roundtable as well.
Well, what a fine little opportunity this is to talk sports in Wisconsin.
Yes,
so
it's a great time.
Head over to civicmedia.us if you want to learn more. The Friday edition of the Up North News Daily Newsletter is out, and as promised, Ellie Bordeaux asking people where to grab a scoop when you're in the area, and here are some of the ideas that readers suggested. Let's see, they're in Burlington, there's Adrian's Frozen Custard, as nominated by Dirk. In Boulder Junction, there's the Ice Shanty and Mini Golf. And Linda says they serve delicious Cedar Crest ice cream. They have a weekly smoothie special, such as an old-fashioned. You can't get more Wisconsin than that, Linda writes. Nice. In Abbotsford, you got to get to the Hawkeye Dairy. Jerry writes, the last time I was there, they had 31 flavors. It's one of the rare places where I can find decent black licorice ice cream. We're going to have to agree to disagree on whether there is such a thing as decent black licorice ice cream, but for those folks that like it.
You can drop the ice cream part off of that, too.
Yeah. Let's see. There is also the Ice Cream Social in Madison, made from scratch in small batches, says Kathy. And then there's nominations for Kelly Country Creamery in Fondulac and Clemish Creamery in New Auburn and more. And if you're wondering what's Ellie got up her sleeve for next week in her Locals Love section, get ready, because next week we're going to ask who makes the best fish fry on Fridays.
Oh, that's going to get people going.
That is indeed. Let's see. Alicia gives out a go whitewater. I think that's just for you, Parker. So there you go.
Well, it's not for you, Pat.
It's definitely not for me. No. Let's see. I was going to ask if anybody had seen a third night of Northern Lights. I don't see much for social media posts, so I think it's kind of run its course. I heard one person last night going, oh, I heard they're going to be good again tonight. I'm like, I haven't heard that, but I'll ask in the morning. Nothing like that there. In terms of temperatures, as I mentioned, it's in the 30s by and large across Wisconsin, a few scattered 20s, but it's going to get above average today. And I say all that to remind you of this. This is one of those days where you bundle up the kids because it's in the 30s, and then they're going to come home, and you're going to go, where's your coat? It was warm. I didn't think to put it on. It's in my locker. And, you know, Monday morning, it's going to be a little chilly. So this morning, remind the kids, which I know feels like talking to a brick wall sometime, but maybe try to reinforce, don't forget your coat today, even though it's going to be nice and pleasant this afternoon. On the social media, I just had to jump on this one right away. I could not believe that Congressman Derek Van Orden actually had the sense to put up a post like this. But he did, and you can see it over on our show page on Twitter, X. Just search for PK Radio Show. We're also on Blue Sky. Then I put it on Facebook at Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Anyway, Derek Van Orden puts up a post on his congressional account there of him outside the U.S. Capitol with his motorcycle, and another guy is standing next to him and handing him something. Now, if you missed it, Derek Van Orden had so little faith in Sean Duffy and the airline system that he said, oh, I'm going to ride my motorcycle 900 miles to the Capitol so I can vote on jacking up people's health insurance costs and ending the government shutdown. And, of course, he didn't do that selflessly. Of course, he made social media posts out of it. He made a little political hay. He got a little national media attention for the stunt. And then he gets there, and the post says, from Wisconsin to Washington, D.C., 951.8 miles on Milwaukee Iron to fight for the American people. Thanks, Harley-Davidson, for recognizing my ride to reopen. And it must be somebody from Harley-Davidson standing next to him, handing him a little trophy. It's got a little badger with an old school, you know, motorcycle helmet on with the little flaps on the sides. And it says, presented to Derek Van Orden for your commitment to the people of Wisconsin, the ride to reopen. Folks, Derek Van Orden is bragging about literally getting a participation trophy for driving to work. That's all he did. You know, he could have flown to the Capitol. He decided to ride his motorcycle. He drove to work. You know, the work that he's been skipping for the better part of 2 months on a paid vacation. And when he did finally show up to work, it was to take a vote that would ensure your health insurance prices go up, because they did not feel like even negotiating some kind of middle ground between the premium tax supports that make health insurance affordable in this country versus eliminating them entirely. But after the participation trophy has been awarded, there is still this to say, that as part of the deal, quote unquote, to end the government shutdown, there will be a standalone vote on these premium health supports. And the vote does not necessarily have to be to put them back to where they were, to where they are now. It could be some kind of middle ground. Will Republicans say that they want to seek out some middle ground here? We'll talk to Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil about that in just a couple of moments. And then coming up, we will have Greg Bach, I believe, joining us on Fridays for our daily history lesson. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be along. We'll be talking about how the New York Times called for a novel approach to abortion rights, an abortion floor. But make no mistake, that floor would quickly become the ceiling. It would essentially become a de facto national abortion ban. And Mike Clemens will be along to talk about sports heading into the weekend. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Joining us now on this Friday morning is Kia Vakil, who is such a wonderful political editor for Courier Newsroom and such an upstanding fellow, a proud citizen of the greater Philadelphia area. He's not even going to gloat about what the Eagles did to the Packers. He's just so focused on his work. He's got no time to shame me. Hello, Kia.
Hello, Pat. Yes, I will give you, I will not shame you this one time.
You won't twist the knife. No. We're already suffering enough here. We got to move on. All right. Well, the country's going to try to move on from the shutdown. It's going to take a while. I have not asked your view on this. Yeah. And so I'm very curious to hear, because I'm of the mind that this is still a fair debate to be had. Yep. Is this a case of Democrats caved and they're going to be losers in the long run as a result? Or, even though this was launched by a handful of Democratic senators, did Democrats, you know, on the whole, win the message war because they've now proven that Trump will take food off your table and make your prices go up for health insurance, and there's nothing you can say or do that will make Trump and the Republicans any more human and compassionate?
I think the answer is a little bit of both. I think there is no doubt that Democrats were winning the political argument on the shutdown. Virtually every poll gathered during it showed that voters blamed Republicans more. And we're increasingly souring on Trump throughout the shutdown. You know, it turns out threatening to keep 42 million people hungry and fire a bunch of federal workers, not so popular, especially while you're gutting the White House to build some gaudy ballroom. None of that really, people don't like that stuff. So I think Democrats were winning that fight. They succeeded in elevating the healthcare fight to it being a national issue. Which is what makes it all the more galling that these eight senators did cave, to be honest. I don't think it's the majority of Democrats wanted this. I think there were probably more than eight that did. But I think that speaks to sort of an existing, still sclerotic, institutionalized order in the Senate, particularly, mm-hmm. where you have a lot of these, the average age of these senators was who voted to open it was 70-something. It's a lot of people who are retiring, a lot of older senators. And, you know, it's, I think, emblematic of sort of the old guard of the party that still has some sway in the Senate, which doesn't really have a lot of turnover, but is increasingly being drummed out of the House. And, you know, I understand their argument. I disagree with it. I think, you know, a lot of them are saying, you know, it wasn't working. Trump wasn't going to cave. If the goal was to get Trump to cave, this was that, you know, he's not going to cave, but you do make him own the fact that he wants to throw 40 million people off their food stamps, 20 million people off their health insurance. That's what politics is. And if you don't want to, you know, if you want to protect people, I completely get that. And I support that. And that's a valid reason to vote to end a shutdown. But you got to message it better than the way they messaged it. You got to, you know, if the airline delays were part of it, you got to talk about that more. I just think if you're going to vote to reopen it, I can understand that. I disagree with it, but you got to be able to articulate your reasoning beyond just, oh, we failed. Like, I don't think that's a compelling argument. Long-term, do I think it's going to have an impact on, you know, Trump's standing? A little bit, but I think his standing is already so poor and the party's standing is already so poor that it's on the edges. For Democrats, I think really what it'll do is it'll just advance further grassroots energy to topple Chuck Schumer, to primary some of these old guard senators. Like, I think that's really the long-term impact of this, which, you know, if you're like me and believe that some of these folks have got to go, that's a positive thing. If you're more institutional and more, for lack of a better term, centrist, you probably aren't loving that.
And thank you, by the way, for the word of the day and the episode title, The Sclerotic Senate. I think that says it perfectly. Thank you for capturing that. Well, we've got to take it to the next step then. And I have already admitted I may be accused of building this up too much. But there will be this standalone vote now on the enhanced Obamacare premium tax credits. Yep. And it would be easy to say, well, the Republicans are all going to hang together and this is going to be a big nothing burger. But based on things like, well, some of the Republican defections on the Epstein files and the heat that they've been getting back home for, you know, for the shutdown, including the big jump in Obamacare premiums, it is, I would say, the odds aren't zero that there are enough Republicans that would say, well, if we can reestablish the enhanced premium tax credits, but just not as high as they were, they'll take that half a loaf and maybe this will dull some of the price increase. How rose-colored are my glasses, Kia?
I think they're a little rose-colored. I think there's two different things. I think, yes, there are, let's say, half a dozen Republican senators and probably a dozen Republican or so members of the House who want to see these renewed with probably with some tweaks. I think they want, you see Susan Collins saying we need an income cap to get subsidies, things like that, which, to be clear, the more you earn, the less subsidy you get. So like there's already a version of that, but reforms, okay. But there are not going to be enough Republican votes for that in the House. I just don't like Republican moderates barely exist. They are a dying breed. You have a handful of them. You have way more Freedom Caucus members. And you're also not going to see Mike Johnson put a bill on the floor that only seven of his people support, carried by mostly Democrats. So there's that. And then I do think, we're already at mid-November. Even if they pass something, is there time to get it implemented by January 1st? I don't know. I hope so. But they're not going to pass anything until December, clearly, even if they do pass something. So I'm a little more skeptical. I think it's, I think that was the bare minimum they were going to be willing to give Democrats was a vote in the Senate. I think Democrats use that as a messaging vote. Maybe I'm cynical. Maybe something will happen. But I just have very little faith that Republicans give a crap about problem solving.
Kia, thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too, Pat. Thanks.
All right. We've got a big history lesson coming up for you next. Truly A to Z, starting with Aaron Copland, ending with Jay-Z. That's coming up next. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's time once again for today's history lesson on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
That's one small step for man.
Well, I'm not a crook.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
This depression is going to be so great. We'll be the ones eating the cats and the dogs. That's going to be fun.
Once again, it is time to take another revealing peek back into history.
We almost have a case where our wardrobe matches the music as Greg Bach joins us wearing, get this, folks, a collared shirt.
What?
Are you just mocking me now with the plaid collared shirts here?
Of course, that's how you took that one. Just
it's all about me, of course.
And not only was it about you, but like you made it about me making fun of you.
Yes, because that's what we do here. We're all about the mockery. But anyway, we look like we could almost belong to this music from Aaron Copland. This is Rodeo. Aaron Copland was born this day in 1900. Referred to by his peers and critics as the Dean of American Music, Copland's open, slowly changing harmonies make up what many consider the sound of the American music, evoking the vast American landscape and pioneer spirit. Compositions like Rodeo, and then there were others like this one. This is his Fanfare for the Common Man.
I feel like I'm about to get on a space shuttle.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm about to win bronze. It never has a more sweeping, more epic song sounded more insulting in its title.
Yeah.
Fanfare for the common
man. This is for you weak ones.
Alicia puts up Fievel Goes West. Wait, what is that? I don't know. So Aaron Copland, born this day in 1900, passed away in 1990. On this day in 1908, Albert Einstein presented his quantum theory of light. Here with more is Greg Bach.
It's very bright. It's really hard to understand. And in like 75 years' time, they're not even going to believe it. They're going to be like, is gravity even a thing?
And that was Science with Greg Bach.
I just knew if I just tossed it to him, he would have that. The correct answer is, it proposes that light behaves as both a wave and a stream of particles called photons. This theory explains that light energy is quantized, meaning it exists in discrete packets, and the energy of a single photon is directly proportional to its frequency. Duh.
And speaking of quantum, about 75 years from now, a group called the Marvel Cinematic Universe is going to use that word way too much. I don't know why I turned my Albert Einstein into like a longshoreman. I think I just wanted to avoid any offensive stereotypical accents.
So you went for the longshoreman instead.
Yeah, because okay. He's had too good for too long.
Yeah, that's right. Let's go to another American music legend, Ray Charles. This version of his song that's been remade so many other times was the number one song this day 65 years ago in 1960.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through.
And again, I hear the audience saying, could you just not talk now and we can just listen to Ray Charles for a while here?
Yeah.
Well, when
I'd go with that.
While I appreciate the previous gentleman and the music that he created, mm-hmm. when you want to talk about the American experience and the American everything, I feel like this music has to be a part of it.
Oh yeah.
The soul of it all has to be a part of it. And while I appreciate a good Western theme, You need some of this too.
You can't do a Mount Rushmore of American music and limit it to four people. I don't know what the number is, but if you can put Aaron Copland on there, but you got to put Ray Charles on there too. Mm. You just do. Happy anniversary, government standoff and shutdown. Happy 30th anniversary to the government shutdown of 1995, when a budget standoff between Republicans and Democrats in Congress forced the government to temporarily close national parks and museums. What's past is prologue. On this day in 1987, the number one album was the soundtrack to Dirty Dancing. Now, Dirty Dancing, the movie, was set in 1963, but the movie featured several modern original songs like this one, I've Had the Time of My Life, with Bill Medley and Jennifer Warren, Hungry Eyes by Eric Carmen, and more.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Featuring She's Like the Wind, sung by Mr. Patrick Swayze.
Yes, of course. We can't forget.
Very important.
We can't forget that effort by the late Mr. Swayze. Also in movie history today, this one might stir up a little trouble. It was on this day in 2003 that Love Actually opened in theaters. It had some musical moments for the purposes of this bit. You had Hugh Grant dancing to the Pointer Sisters' Jump. You had Emma Thompson having a breakdown while Joni Mitchell sang Both Sides Now in the background. And so many people say this is like one of those quintessential Christmas movie watch list items. A, never seen it. B, don't want to see it. Especially when I hear how some of the characters behave in this. It just sounds like it's a rip your heart out and stomp on it type of movie. And it's not my cup of tea.
It has garnered a whole bunch of controversy. Not a lot to make it like, we can't play this anymore. But there are definitely too many think pieces about it. And I believe that for some people, that movie means a lot. It holds a place in their heart. Cool. For some people like yourself, you don't want to see it for your reasons. Great. I just feel like also when people start to talk about it and pontificate, I'm like, we can talk about something else.
Exactly. Here's a different controversy about the movies. Moana, the animated Disney film, including The Rock, premiered on this day in 2016. Why is it controversial? Because I have a granddaughter, 3 years old, who is all about Disney princesses, loves all the princess costumes. Mm-hmm. But if you tell her Moana is a princess, she will stomp her feet and cry, and she will throw a fit because Moana is not a princess, because Moana is stronger, braver, doesn't rely on a man, all the things that I know that my daughter taught her about. So in her mind, Moana is not a princess. She's even better than a princess.
She is. I would say the young lady from Brave, I can't remember her name now.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yep. She very, very much bucked the system of that as well. So
I love that in the movies now. It's not like, oh, I'm Sleeping Beauty, I'll just wait here for a man to kiss me. You know,
yeah.
We've definitely evolved in our you know, heroine characters, and good on that.
Ah, yes, Meridia from Brave. I like that movie. I enjoyed that movie a lot. Now they're doing a live-action Moana version, and no one asked for that.
No, nobody.
Wait,
did. What? Yes. See?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, uh-huh. Just go with Moana too. Don't. You don't. Everything doesn't need to be live action. There's charm. There's charm to animation. I tell you.
Also on the birthday list today, singer-songwriter. You ever know you just can't add anything more? That's the cherry on top. Move on, Pat.
Parker, give me a good old-fashioned get off my lawn.
No, get off my lawn, kid. No. Point made. Point to Hufflepuff. Let's move on. Singer-songwriter Stephen
Bishop. I'm a Gryffindor.
He's 74 today. Taken from the fire into the frying pan on and on. She just keeps on trying. Stephen Bishop is 74 today. It's been a while.
Yeah.
You have to really be looking for one of the mellow oldie stations, like the kind I probably have welded to my radio dial. You're saying, hey, wait, Pat, Stephen Bishop is 74 today. Rapper Joseph Simmons, a.k.a. Run of Rum DMC, is 61, born this day in Hollis, Queens, New York. You could have played music from there. I could have.
Yep. Good.
But I think we've learned Pat's DNA. He's going to play the schmaltzy 70s tune every time.
I think... You know, for as much as we talk about yacht rock on this show,
I was going to say, there's like a reason there's a captain's hat right behind me here.
This might be the quintessential mellow gold example.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's smooth.
Yeah.
Ooh.
On to 1992 now, where the theme song to the Aaron Spelling TV drama The Heights hit number one. It was done by Jamie Walters. How do you talk? Aren't you like having a flood now of all the TV opens from like Beverly Hills 90210 and Hallie McBeal and all the other shows that they were all
Party
filled
of
with
five.
This Party of Five, all the angst of being in your early to mid 20s.
My friend Jessica and I, who I love like a sister, we bring up this show and this theme song more than we talk about our own family members.
Really?
Yeah, it's because it's so schmaltzy, as you put it. It's because it's about a group of people who are in a band and they're in a terrible band that should never go anywhere.
They're not good.
Those individuals all have what my parents called causeless anger.
Causeless anger. I like that. I just remember in the 80s there was. We were in our 20s, and ABC had this successful primetime show called 30-something. Mm. And Sherry and I were in our 20s, and we loved to mock that show because, again, all the angst, all the drama over what, you know?
Yeah.
We realized, fast forward now, when we are in our late 40s, 50s, we're like, you know what? That show had actually nailed it. When we look back at our own 30s now, we're like, oh, that was actually a preview of coming attractions. I guess we should have paid attention. Oh, well. Up to 1998, where Lauryn Hill became the first female rap solo artist to hit number one. You know you better watch out. Some guys are only about that thing. On this day in 1957, Hank Aaron with the Milwaukee Braves became the National League's most valuable player. On this day in 2003, Jay-Z released the Black Album with classics including 99 Problems and this. Now, one more item here, and it addresses something that we talked about just yesterday, and that was Michael Jackson's Thriller. Mm. And we were looking at the release dates and we're like, It seemed weird that it was all the stuff was happening after Halloween. Wouldn't have been a Halloween, you know, premiere. Well, it turns out on this day in 1983, so November 14th, 1983, Michael Jackson's 14-minute film, Thriller, debuted in Los Angeles. It became the most popular video in MTV history. And it just kind of reinforced what I was saying is back then, in the early 80s, Halloween was not nearly the holiday it is now. It was literally just, send the kids out with a bag and they'll go get some candy. And I'm not going to say Thriller started it because obviously it came out after Halloween, but I think it kind of paved the way for others to kind of turn Halloween into more of a media and adult event and not just those kids and their milk duds, you know?
Yeah.
To which everybody says, what's a milk dud?
A candy designed specifically to destroy your teeth.
Oh, yeah. My gosh, yes. Yeah. Oh, man. Let's see. Parker, what's on the national day calendar here?
It is National Teddy Bear Day. Are you a big fan of teddy bears, Pat?
I didn't have one, if that's what you're asking.
Parker, tone.
I'm having a day,
hey,
Greg.
Hey, Pat, answer the question here. Are you a fan of teddy bears? What do you like? You like the president? You like the Graham? What do you like? You like teddy bears?
I'm creating my own fun. I need it.
I know. What else you got?
It's also National Pickle Day.
Yes, it is, to which we say dill, garlic, spicy, thank you. Bread and butter, please leave.
Oh, okay.
And finally,
Operating Room Nurse Day.
Yes, yeah, definitely had to get that one out there.
Claps.
Again, all the best to all the OR nurses and everybody who makes it work there in the OR. All right, Greg Bach is here as part of today's history lesson, and coming up in the next hour, we will have our Week in Review panel. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I dropped that black album, then I back out it as the best rapper alive. X about me from billboards. There's a lot of silence in this clip, isn't there?
I'm only a little worried.
I'm worried.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Oh, welcome back. Greg Bach is here as well at 6:52, and we will get to some entertainment news in just a moment. First, a reminder, our question of the day deals with your local ice cream shop, and where do you think folks ought to go for a cone or a sundae next time they're passing through your hometown? You can call or text us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, and let us know. And then next week we're going to be talking about, what did I say, fish fries, as part of the Locals Love section of the Up North News Daily Newsletter. Greg, if we can talk about retirements, plural, for a moment here.
Oh, man, that sounds amazing.
doesn't it, though? And sadly, neither one of these involved me. of course, we've talked here about Jane Matinere.
Yeah.
Calling it a career after, what'll it be, 45 years?
44 years. I'm just going to say 45. I'm calling it a cool 45.
Yep, it's a better number than 44.
Round it up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that'll be December 12th is when she's wrapping things
Correct.
Up. And
no, yes.
Nobody deserves it more. Except maybe on that same plane, 1 week earlier on December 5th, my old co-anchor Judy Clark will be retiring from WEAU Channel 13 after also about 40 years in the
wow.
business,
nice.
Including 35 of them, I believe, at TV 13.
Wow.
And Judy and Jane are about as real as it gets. I mean, whether it's radio or TV, the broadcast industry needs more Janes, it needs more Judys. They are absolutely heavenly to work with. They are genuine, but they don't put up with any BS from the boys. And I'm just here to say that there are two women that I've had the pleasure to work with who do not enjoy retirement. There's nobody who deserves an enjoyable retirement more than those two. And the fact that they're retiring within a week of each other is kind of symbolic for me to say this is how you go out. You go out on top, mm-hmm. and good for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, congratulations to your friend Judy.
Yeah.
And we're going to be having some fun with Jane over the next few weeks. I mean, the last 2 weeks of her time here, essentially the first 2 weeks of December, mm-hmm. we'll be having on great guests and having great chats and taking some trips down memory lane, and maybe there'll be a few surprises. I don't know. You'll just have to tune in 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. every day, Monday through Friday, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I can't tell you what's going to happen. It's a surprise.
Okay. Well, I'll do it. You've talked me into it.
Because it's National Pickle Day, I'll put you in a pickle. You got to decide between going to work and listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There you go. Entertainment news coming our way from one Parker Olson.
Yes, sir. It is. Are you familiar with who Tom Felton is, Pat?
No.
Okay. Yep. Greg is nodding his head, thankfully.
Okay.
Expelliarmus. Ah!
Yes. He played Draco Malfoy in Harry Potter.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And
character. Didn't know the actor. Okay.
He's returned to his role because there is a play of
Harry Potter play on Broadway.
Yes. Cursed Child. Yeah.
Yep. My daughter, my younger daughter, huge Harry Potter fan, and she'd seen it on Broadway a couple of years back. So now he's coming back playing his character from the film.
Yes, he is now playing him as an older, as like
I was going to say, that would be like, I mean, that'd be like who played Harry Potter? What's
Daniel Radcliffe?
That would be a Daniel Radcliffe coming back to do it and being at Hogwarts, trying to pass yourself off as a high school freshman.
Professor Snape, I got a question about potions.
Hello, fellow youths.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is all just I think this is all just a lead up to reboot Harry Potter.
When they are
of the age in real life that they were playing at the end of the seventh movie or the eighth movie, mm-hmm. so they can do a third Wizarding War.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's what I believe.
I was thinking it was just to rebuild hype because they are remaking it into a TV series.
Yeah, they're redoing redoing the movies into season long shows. Every book is going to be, and I'm not going to lie, I'm a little interested because I want to see what from the book they cut for the movies that they'll put in the TV shows. But also, I don't want to give J.K. Rowling a single dime of my money.
No, I don't want to either. And yet, I mean, Game of Thrones, it translated. The books were fabulous. The TV show was fabulous. I'm a little hesitant. Yeah. I'm a little nervous about how that would turn out.
But I think eventually what will happen is that they are going to not reboot it. They're going to continue the movies into another set of movies where it's a third Wizarding War.
Okay, so Star Trek, where the sequels just never stop coming. Okay. Yeah. Let's see. You got another story for us there, Parker?
Yeah. Dave Burgess, the leader of the Champs, was famous for the song Tequila. He has passed away. Yes. Just this week, he was 90.
The Champs with Tequila. Do you have a clip of that handy?
I do not, unfortunately. No, I did not think that far ahead.
Well, look.
Would you like me to sing it for you?
We've given you 2 minutes to find tequila, so we can end the segment on that kind of a note.
Oh, I got tequila right now.
I was gonna say. What do you think's under the desk?
Wait a minute. That's when we bring Sherita Booker in, from Up North News, who's our resident tequila expert. Yes, we can totally do that. And what's this other note you have here? Disney Plus to start having AI generated content. Oh no!
Yeah,
gross.
I believe that they're gonna be shorts of their own characters. They're calling it their most significant move since launching in 2019.
So
okay,
what do? They just like say to an AI generated computer, make a cartoon featuring Olaf and the Seven Dwarfs. Go.
Yes, that's exactly what it's going to do.
Oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that leads to this question: AI generated Disney combos you'd like to see? I've given you Olaf and the Seven Dwarfs. You take it and run. There are no limits. What Disney combo? What Disney mashup? Include
and
Pixar.
You can even use all the band stuff too.
Yes.
Oh God, I was just thinking, what Star Wars is technically Disney now?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Ewoks with the Seven Dwarves.
Where can we relegate Jar Jar Binks?
Okay, don't get me started on that.
Ooh.
I have a lot of thoughts on that topic, so I don't have time today. Harsh on him.
Okay. All right. We'll come back to that's one we clearly need to re-examine. And there's tequila. Greg Bach, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You
great
too, guys.
To visit with you.
Bye, Greg.
All right.
Thank you.
Our Week in Review panel is standing by to go through the headlines of the past 7 days. We will do that after the news. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.